Thank you so much for visiting us online today. We believe God wants to speak to you through the following message. If you would like to connect with us or send us your prayer request, visit us at kingsgatehobbs.com.
Well, I was not expecting that. I'm sure Pastor Jen was deeply involved with all of that. Before you're seated, I just want to say something. And I already apologized to Dad for it, Dad Brown. But I jumped the gun, and I'd always wanted to do it right, but I was so excited, I wasn't thinking clearly. We're real different that way, too. He's a planner, and I'm like, well, you know. So I accidentally asked Jen to marry me before I had talked to her dad. So I called him that day, and I'd already asked for her hand in marriage, so I really needed, because she'd said yes, and I really needed him to say yes. But I called him, and he was coming down from a water tower. Because, you know, he had a company that would paint, sandblast, and paint water towers. I don't know if you knew that. And it was like, he was just so thrown off. He said, man, you know what? I can't talk to you right now, but I'll call you back. I know I threw a grenade at him through the cell phone. But he called me that day, and he was so gracious. And years later, I apologized to him and Mom. I said, I'm sorry I did it backwards. I didn't mean to. I had good intentions, and thanks for accepting me and giving me a chance. And they said, man, we're not worried about it now, you know. But praise God, and thanks for that. I just wanted to say that. And thank you guys. Love y'all. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Let's get into the Word. If you'd be seated in God's presence today, I want to talk to you. New series entitled, What's New With You? Encountering Jesus, when you really encounter Jesus, it brings change. It should, right? It really should bring change in your life when you encounter the Lord. So today, I want to talk to you about that. And how many of you know that we're called to be different from the world? Does everybody know that? And it's a good theory for many. And there are some believers that you see them, and I know they have a love for God, but man, they just feel, it's like they're stuck, and they're just still looking like the world. And I know that's not you today in this house or on the live stream, but I want to encourage you with some points about, well, basically, what's new with you, what we should do in our new life with Christ, okay? So hear me out today. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. Look at what the Apostle Peter says. He says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you guys catch that word? Knowledge. You get to know more about him. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. But let me say that again. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me just briefly? Father, let your word fall on good ground today. I thank you that I have the opportunity and privilege to be the messenger. Let your folks receive the word. They're so attentive here. They're so full of love. I just love this flock and who you've entrusted to me and to this ministry, Lord God. And me as your under-shepherd, your assistant, Lord, you're the great shepherd, but me as the pastor of this church under you and under my dad, Lord, you've entrusted me with a great responsibility, and that's to speak the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, and to speak the word. And Lord, let it fall on good ground and be well received and put into practice today in Jesus' name. Somebody said, so my first point today is learn. Someone say learn. Your job as a believer is to learn everything you possibly can about Jesus and the word. Start there. You say, man, well, is the God of the Old Testament different from the God of the New Testament? No, it's the same God, but we are in an age of grace. God came in the form of Jesus, his son, and now there is all this amazing mercy and grace, and there's hope, and there's a way for us to get to heaven through Jesus, guaranteed if you believe and live for him. So you've got to learn all you can about Jesus in the Word. Let me tell you some things I've learned about Jesus, and you can think about some stuff that you've learned about this morning. One thing that stands out to me about Jesus is that he was fearless. Fearless. Man, he stood up to the religious leaders of that day, and you see the power of the religious leaders because eventually they crucified him. Even against Rome's wishes, they had him crucified. They were powerful. They were religious and not in a good way. Religious meaning they knew the rules, they knew the system, they knew how to circumnavigate and circumvent the system and get around certain things and look good in public and pray in front of people and make themselves look great. But man, they were full of bitterness and hatred, and they were poor examples. At one point, Jesus said with Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, in the crowd, He said, do what they say, don't do what they do. He was fearless. And if you study the life of Jesus, especially in his ministry there, it looks like he was always picking a fight with the Pharisees. I like that. Now, he's God in the flesh. He did it right, and his timing was always perfect. But I love that he spoke the truth, and he always had an answer for everyone. At one point, they tried to entrap him. And you know what they said? They said, they knew what they were doing. They said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Because they were under Rome at the time. Caesar was the emperor. They believed he was divine. Rome did. And Israel was under Rome's authority at that time. So they said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? So they knew. If he said, yeah, it's right to pay taxes to Caesar, then everybody could say, oh, you're honoring him above God. They could find all kinds of fault with him in Israel. But then if he said, it's not right to pay taxes to Caesar, then the Roman governor could have arrested him for causing mutiny and rebellion and speaking out against the emperor. They said, we've got him. And they did this on more than one occasion. They said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, man, you know what? Why are you trying to trap me? He called him out. Look how fearless he was. Why do you tempt me? Why are you messing with me? He goes, you know what? Give me a coin with Caesar's image on it. He said, who is that? They said, that's Caesar. He said, all right. Then you know what? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, pay his taxes, but give to God what is God's. So he shut them up. And scripture says that they shut up after that. He had an answer for everyone. I love that. He was fearless in answering. He was loving. He was forgiving. Man, for heaven's sake, look at that cross over there. He was sacrificial, wise. Man, he knew the word. He quoted scripture constantly. And here's something that really stands out to me about Jesus is he had joy in his journey, even though he knew where it was headed. He had joy in the journey, even though he knew he was headed to suffering and the cross and a brutal execution because he was looking past it. He said, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sacrifice myself for my people. See, it was prophesied that he was to be named Jesus, the rescuer, because he would save his people from their sins. And who are his people? Say, just Israel? No, the entire earth, the people he had created. I've always taken that as a double meaning. Not that he would only save the Jews from hell, but also the Gentiles. That's me and you. There may be a little bit of Jewish blood in here, but most of us are non-Jews. And he died to save his people from hell. And I love that. He took joy in the journey, even though it led to the cross. Can you imagine if he would have given up? I'm so glad he didn't. What are some other things that you notice about Jesus? Go ahead. Well, I'm going to do it on a Sunday morning. Just two or three. What's something you notice about Jesus? What have you learned about him? He was miraculous. Never changing. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Anybody else? Faithful. What else? Full of love. That's your God. And so you're called to learn all you can about Jesus and the Word. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you learn about God as a whole. Because he is the character of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. All right? That's who Jesus is. And that's part of what's new with you is you've got to get to learn all about Jesus. I'm laying the foundation here for the next thing. We'll get into it in a moment. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. What does this say? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Remember, Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is the Word. So you learn scripture, you learn about Jesus. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Let's look at that verse one more time from the beginning. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. John chapter 1 says, Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is inseparable from his Word. God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, is Jesus. And we see all scriptures inspired by God. It teaches us what's true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. And what else? And teaches us to do what is right. So, man, learn all you can about Jesus while you're alive. Because when you're in heaven, you'll have everything you need to know. All right? Learn about him now while you're on the earth. Let's go to Psalm 119, 105. This is talking about the word. It's also talking about Jesus. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Learn. Someone say learn. It is your job as a believer to learn all you can. Listen, our discipleship program in the English service is called Surge. And Valeria's over that, but Dad is a great, great integral part of that because he does the spiritual warfare class. He also does the faith class. And we encourage you to take every class possible that you believe is going to change your life and move you to the next step and level with God. How many of you have taken the spiritual warfare class? Raise your hand. Wow, that's a lot on a Sunday morning. How many of you have taken any classes at this church? Raise your hand. Any at all? All right, that's a lot of y'all. Praise God. That is good news. So keep doing that. Keep learning about the Lord. The more you learn about him, it's going to be hard to ignore all these subtle things and direct things and big things and little things about Jesus. Learn more and more and more about him. And I love the life of Jesus. I love reading about him. I love studying about him, nuances of history, all that stuff. Why? Well, let's go to point two. Because we are called to imitate him. We're called to be Christ-like. Scripture says Jesus has been made unto us, in a manner of speaking, wisdom and righteousness. He's greater than Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived until Jesus came. All right? So he is the embodiment of wisdom, but he's also the embodiment of love and righteousness, being right with God. And you are called to imitate him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:1. And you should imitate me, the Apostle Paul says, just as I imitate Christ. Does anybody in here remember the 80s real well? I think we got some people in here remember the 80s. Jonathan, I was thinking about growing up on 1219 South Selman, and you were bringing up some stuff about chimichangas and Allsup's burritos. I don't eat those anymore, just so you know. I lost my hair because of Allsup's burritos. Laugh it up, but and I think it contributed. But I remember in our room on South Selman, and I'll never forget, I put one of the posters up crooked, but I had a poster of Jordan, I think two of them, maybe, one at least, and I had a poster of Larry Bird. Anybody remember those people? I remember I had a friend, and we called it junior high back then. It wasn't middle school, it was junior high, and he adored Michael Jordan. He would say the dumbest things in worship of Michael Jordan. I remember we had a friend, another friend, And she looked at me one day and she said his name and she said, I don't know why he's always thinking about Michael Jordan. He loves Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's not thinking about him. I just thought that is great logic. But this guy, he'd play basketball, and I remember he was a friend of mine. And he was like the evil form of me. He was everything that I could be without God. But anyway, he was not a great influence. I did my best to influence him, but I think sometimes we just cancel each other out. But he'd go to play basketball, and you know what he'd do? Those of you who remember Michael Jordan, he would do this. Y'all remember? Jordan would stick his tongue out when he played basketball. I remember coaches saying that's the dumbest thing in the world because you could have your tongue out and someone hits your jaw and you bite your tongue off. You don't want to play sports with your tongue hanging out. It was fine for Jordan. I thought it was dumb for people to try to imitate that. But here we are talking about imitating. And I remember this guy would jump up, and every shot he did, he would spread his legs and stick his tongue out, trying to be like Jordan. You remember, you know, the Air Jordan symbol where his legs? Yeah, so he'd be doing a jump shot all alone, and he'd spread his legs and stick his tongue out. He was imitating Michael Jordan. I remember we had a little 6-foot goal in the backyard, and I'd try to shoot like Michael Jordan, though. He'd hang there, you know, and it was a little 6-foot goal. I could practically hit my head on the rim, even when I was under five foot. And we would imitate these folks that we admired, and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, and Magic would go in the lane and do cool passes, and we were trying to do that. And Larry Bird, I'd try to shoot like him, and we were imitating them all the time. But can you imagine us imitating the world or something negative? Now, that was basketball. That's one thing. Whatever. That's fun to talk about. But why don't we imitate Jesus? He has everything we need. He has everything we will ever need. He knew how to treat people. He knew how to treat women. Man, he was the greatest empowerment for women back then. He would talk to women. You remember the story of Jesus at the well? His disciples walked up, and there's clues in Scripture. It said they didn't ask him why he was talking to the woman or what did you seek from her. But did you know that was faux pas back then? That was looked at very strangely for a man to speak to a woman that wasn't their relative or their wife. And here he was speaking to the woman at the well. He rescued the woman caught in adultery so that she wasn't killed. I want to imitate Jesus. Look how bold he was. There are those who believe that when Jesus stooped to write in the sand or the dirt, do you guys remember that? They brought a woman caught in adultery. They said, Rabbi, what should we do with her? He didn't answer him. He just bent over and he began to write in the dirt. Some believe that the oldest to the youngest left because he was writing of the names. He was writing the names of their trysts, their affairs, from the oldest to the youngest. He was like, you were with Fulana, Francesca. You were with Chavela. They were all Hispanic names or Italian. Can you imagine the boldness to rescue a woman who was caught in adultery? And you know, the story is she wasn't caught in adultery by herself. Chances are there was a man. Was he one of the Pharisees? Why wasn't he there? Why was she there alone? Strange story. But we want to imitate him. Jesus was a rescuer. Jesus stood up for the underprivileged. He stood up for children and women. He stood up for everybody. But even on the cross, he's dying. And one of the thieves, it sounds like one of the thieves changed his tune. Because if you read other texts, it says that the thieves were both ridiculing him. And at some point, one of the thieves must have changed his tune, and that would make sense. He said, you know what? What is wrong with you? He told the other thief. He said, we're the ones that are guilty. This man is innocent. And all he told Jesus was, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Can you imagine that? That statement still rocks me to this day. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That is powerful. But there's something about that. When the thief on the cross, and you've got to remember, when they're being crucified, they have to kind of step up. Even though their feet are nailed to the cross and their wrists, they have to step up to be able to breathe and to be able to talk. The way they're hanging, they can't breathe. So the guy breathlessly said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is what I want to imitate in Jesus, is forgiveness, grace, and mercy. After all of that, he's on the cross, he's saving somebody. They're shouting at him, he saved others, he can't save himself. He's saving people on the cross. That's like nothing I've ever heard of or seen. I want to imitate him. I want to imitate him. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, like Jesus, following the example of Christ, right? He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Beautiful. Let's go to 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives like whom? As Jesus did. The perfect and highest example for us ever. The pinnacle of good behavior. The pinnacle of a sinless life. The pinnacle of righteousness. The pinnacle of wisdom. One man of God years ago said he is the superlative of anything good you would choose to call him. He is the best of the best of the best of anything good you choose to call him. So continue to imitate Jesus. And number three today, real simple. After you've learned, and you begin to learn, or as you learn, and you begin to imitate him in your life, model your life after him, you allow God to change your life. How many of you know that you have a free will? I don't really want to ask this, but don't raise your hand. Did anyone force you to come to church today? Some of the younger ones are like, I got forced. Don't raise your hand. As I was asking, I was like, that's a loaded question. Can you imagine? I'm like, yeah, my wife made me come to church today. I was trying. There's a joke that goes like that. You're the pastor. You have to go to church. No, I wanted to be at church today. You have a free will. You can choose, and today is the day to choose that you'll change. Begin to take the classes at this ministry. Get connected to a Bible study. We've got Bible studies, connect groups for men and women. This year we're going to have open some new ones for men and women in this ministry and in the Spanish ministry. But choose to renew your mind. Let's go to Romans 12:1. Look at this. It's a choice. Someone say it's a choice. It is. You have a will. I remember my mom saying that over and over. It would irritate me sometimes, but she was so right. Blessed be her memory. Mom would say, babe, you have a will. You have a choice. You can control yourself. Choose. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy what? Sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The world's failing, guys. In every aspect, it's failing. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. But you got to allow him. Got to make some decisions here. Then you will learn what? To know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Ooh, that's a good verse. That's a good text. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Leave that verse up there for me, if you would, while I begin to close. Let me just say this. There is nothing like the power of a changed life. We can talk to people and talk to them and invite them to church and do all these great things that we're doing and we want to do. But there's nothing like people looking at your life going, he's different. She's different now. They're not the same person. They not only talk about it, but they treat me differently. They forgive. I'll never forget, since we were telling stories about basketball in the 80s and 90s, there was a guy named A.C. Green. He used to play for the Lakers. And he was a great Christian, an exemplary Christian. Some of you that know your basketball history, the NBA in the 80s and 90s. I never liked A.C. Green because he was on the Lakers, but I knew he was a Christian, so I gave him grudging respect. I was always mad at him because he was on the Lakers. And that was Jonathan's and Dad's team, and I was a Boston Celtic fan. But anyway, I'll never forget, I think had he gone to the Phoenix Suns? And somebody, a guy, I think the guy's name was J.R. Reed, one day they were battling for the ball. You know, the NBA is not a non-contact sport. He got elbowed right in the mouth intentionally. You know what it did? It knocked A.C. Green's tooth out. And A.C. Green bent over and picked up his tooth and subbed out. And somebody said, was it Charles Barkley? Charles Barkley was on the Suns at that time. Everybody knows Charles Barkley. He told A.C. Green, you know what he told him? He said, now I know for real that you're a Christian. Got his tooth knocked out. I don't know how I would have handled that. I think I would have fit it back in and then bit his ear off. I'm kidding. Just making sure you're still awake. I'm kidding. But I don't know how I would have handled that. I don't know how you would have handled it. But I do know this, is it's time to renew your mind. We're not called to just stay the same forever. Are you with me? We're called to change and grow just like a tree does as it matures and it's beautiful and it blooms and it gives fruit. You are called to change and be a light and an example. Let me go over my points before we pray together today. What's new with you? Well, you need to learn. Keep learning about Jesus. Learn all you can. Stay in the Word every day, whether you're listening to it, reading it, talking about it. Get in the Word every day and prayer. Stay connected. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep asking questions. Number two, imitate him. Be imitators of God, Scripture says. Be like Christ. Say, man, that's Jesus. He's perfect. I'm not perfect. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about striving for perfection. You don't have to be perfect, but strive for the best you can possibly be in the Lord with his help. Imitate him. And number three, begin to allow God to change you. You can do that. You don't have to be the same forever. You say, man, I'm still struggling with this stuff. I ask you this today. Why? You don't have to. That doesn't come from a place of condemnation or me sticking it to you. You don't have to stay the same. You can be better and better and better, always onward and upward. Scripture says, shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. That's the path of the righteous. So keep seeking God. Keep imitating Jesus. And man, let God change you as you renew your mind with his help. And how do you renew your mind? You change your thoughts for God's thoughts. You get a crazy thought, start to praise God and go, that's not from you, Lord. I praise you. Here's how you would have me to think. And how do you know how to think? by staying and learning about Jesus and imitating him in his word. All right? So learn, imitate, and change. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes today if you would, please. First step to changing is to accept Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. Can't do it without that. Is there anyone in this house at the sound of my voice? This is also for the live stream. Anyone in this house at the sound of my voice who would say, Pastor Matt, I need to get right with God. I need to accept Jesus and make him my Lord for real, because if I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell, or I know I'm not right. I've never accepted the Lord. I need to get right today. Today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Why wait? What are we waiting for? There is no waiting. We don't know what else is going to happen this next day or week or year. It's time to serve God now. You're not here by accident. If there's anyone in the house that says, I need to accept Jesus and make him the Lord of my life, I want to get to know God, I want to learn, I want to imitate him, and I want to be a changed creation. If that's you, raise your hand today, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to pray as a church family. I've always got to make sure whether you raise your hands or not. That don't bother me. I've got to deliver the message as a faithful messenger, though. All right, let's pray together, if you would. Everybody in the house, let's pray this for anyone who's listening to this message right now online. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sin. On my own, I'm a sinner. And I call on the name of Jesus. And I declare and confess, Jesus is my Lord. Not Satan, not the world, not myself. Jesus is my Lord. And I receive him. Come into my life, Lord. And say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day. Save me, Lord, from hell and from myself. I thank you, Father, and I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Right where you are, in that same attitude of reverence, would you go ahead and stand to your feet? Everybody in the house, just stand to your feet. If God spoke to you about something, anything today, raise your hand. Keep those hands in the air. Let's pray. Let me agree in prayer over you right now. We pray as family and friends, as the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for your word that it's fallen on good ground. I thank you for this amazing group of people, this church, those that are joining us today, even for the first time, that are going to be planted here. Lord, those that are planted here already, those that will be planted here in the future, I thank you that your hand of grace and mercy and power, protection and provision are on us. And Lord, we trust you with everything in us. You've given us everything we have, and we trust you, and we will give back to you with all of our lives. I thank you that you've blessed us and you'll continue to, but Lord, we reach out and put you and place you as number one. You are enthroned as the king of our lives and our hearts. We submit our wills and our actions and our plans to you today. And I thank you for everyone in this house as they've listened and received from your word. It's your word, not mine. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen.